GOB 61. Let's shake on it. Popular myth would have it that we used to be a nation of ladies and gentlemen. Our word was our bond. The great and good had a code of noblesse oblige, while the hoi polloi knew their place. God was clearly an Englishman, and everything was the best in the best of all possible worlds. Legislation was almost unnecessary, except to deter the determinedly evil, and a handshake was an unbreakable contract. Voluntary agreements were quite sufficient to regulate commerce and industry, pastime pursuits, and internecine unneighbourliness. That is, for the most part, rubbish. Commerce, industry, and trade had some gentlemen, just as any other walk of life, but if all controls had remained toothless and voluntary, small children would still be cleaning chimneys, drinking water from lead pipes, ingesting loaves cut with arsenic, and eating horse offal pies. Country pursuits are no better. Ladies on horses seem to accidentally kill foxes as often as they used to do it on purpose. Gentlemen fill their purdies with lead shot and blast buzzards with impunity, and landed gentry are supposedly so incompetent that they are always unaware when their gamekeepers poison peregrines or stomp on hen harrier nests. Farmers chemically scour the land and mechanically trim back hedgerows just when birds are nesting or before they've eaten their fill of winter berries, while claiming their stewardship subsidies. Careless anglers discard nylon line that takes years to rot and is a long, slow and painful death sentence to water birds. Or fill swim with huge quantities of bait that sour the waters. Even the careful hiker or casual stroller steadily erodes paths and builds unwanted cairns on hilltops. In town parks, the staff still remove all ground cover and chop out deadwood. It used to be that all parkies were professional gardeners, filling their grounds with unproductive rhododendrons and blankets of spring bulbs or waves of easily discarded bedding plants. Despite this dying away through cost savings, parks are kept as pet dog toilets, not playgrounds, let alone the wildlife sanctuaries a little thought could encourage. Meanwhile, homegrown bait diggers leave their diggings to be backfilled by the tide, and crabbers turn stones over but don't replace them. Duck hunters stray above the tide lines and delight in potting anything that slips off the reserve that their dogs can surreptitiously recover. We birders rail against the Mediterranean for supping on limestick-caught ortolans or sportingly blasting anything that flies from a bee-eater to a Bernelli's eagle. But, like charity, legislation should begin at home. We can no longer scatter stones from our glass-clad domiciles. It's time that the birders' code of conduct was enshrined in a proper countryside act that tells us all how best to behave and sanctions us if we stray. Voluntary agreements in Fleet Street did nothing to stop the trial by press or phone-hacking victims. Self-policing MPs still fiddle their expenses and have wage rises orders of magnitude above those of nurses. Voluntary agreements, like verbal contracts, are not worth the paper they're written on. We need all-encompassing countryside legislation that makes the use of the countryside forever sensitive to the needs of the wild world. Builders, farmers, oilmen and planners cannot be trusted, but nor can casual countryside users. Badgers need saving from profit politics. Groundwater must come before fracking and the delicate ecosystem that has to be protected, even from those of us who value it most highly. If we want to stop hunters and shooters from eliminating predators, then we must also agree to culling some of the introduced species. If we stop farmers chemically controlling insects and ploughing in stubble too early, then we need to sanction twitchers who trample crops or invade people's gardens and over-enthusiastic photographers from flushing scarce species. The right to roam is fundamental, but must be coupled with the obligation to do no harm.